here in Romans chapter 8, breaking in at the first verse. Find your place, say amen.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh, notice that, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Would you pray, Brother Collins? Amen. You can be seated this morning. In verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raises up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We're in debt this morning.
Amen.
Can I hear from you? We're in debt this morning, church. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage that the devil told you about this week, that you're under bondage. I'm telling you, you're not under bondage with the Lord. Again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we the children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If so be that the sufferings with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I love this next verse. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
We suffer many things in this life and go through many things in this life, but it's not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us that Christ Jesus is doing. Here on this weekend, this week coming up, we celebrate our independence as a nation. But God put on my heart to bring to you this morning into remembrance of where we are as a country and as a nation. So often we forget, especially in the day and time that we live in, that we need to remember where we've been and where we're going.
Yeah.
Amen? Men and women are fighting on the battlefields right this very moment for your freedom and mine. And I have never forgot it, neither will I forget it. I'm thankful for what they've done.
Amen.
You know, I thought about the uniform. And a lot of people ask me a lot of times why I wear a suit, why I wear a tie. And this day and time, it's not a popular thing anymore. You hardly ever see a man in a suit and a tie anymore. There's nothing wrong with it if you don't like to wear them. But I'll tell you what, when I was a 12-year-old boy, God called me into the ministry. He saved my soul as an 11-year-old child, and at 12 years old, He called me into the ministry. I started traveling and singing with a group, and I began to watch and learn from my elders and begin to grow in the Lord and be nurtured and shaped into this thing to walk with God and to live for Him. And I realized then that I was called into a service for the Lord. And it didn't take long, about 15 years old, when God called me to preach. I didn't put on a suit because He called me to preach. I never did get to serve in the military. I always wanted to. But I went into the mission fields to work for God. And when God called me into the mission field, the first thing I wanted to do is follow after the great men of God before me and watch how they honored God. And I watched men stand in the pulpit and fire out the word of God and be a representation to the community because of their life that they live. I compared that to the men that were fighting on the battlefield. When they went to basic training, they got trained. When I got saved, I become into basic training. And when they got done with basic training, they give them a uniform to wear as they go out on the battlefield. When God called me in the ministry to preach His gospel, He gave me a uniform. I put on a suit and tie. I'm not wearing a military uniform that the world has, but I'm wearing a spiritual uniform this morning that you're looking at, that I'm wearing this morning. It don't make me saved. It don't make me a better person, but I'm glad to stand here and represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Commander, to serve Him this morning because He's worthy of it. Amen. I want to wear my uniform for Him. I always did want to serve in the military, and I salute all our men and women that have served, and especially those that have given their lives, that I may stand here this morning and brag on the name of Jesus, and that you could sit in those seats under freedom this morning, that we could honor His name this morning. But I've pulled up some statistics this week because the Lord has told me to remind you of the great price that has been paid, and I'd like to read them to you this morning. According to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, they give a statistic of all the wars that have taken place from 1775. And I'm going to go through statistically here real quick to give these to you. But here in the U.S. Department, they have put down in the American Revolution in 1775, there was 217,000 servicemen that entered the service. But there was 4,435 that died for the cause of this country and for this great land that we're in. The War of 1812, there was 286,730 servicemen. There was 2,260 of them killed during this time of conflict. In the Indian Wars in 1817, there was 106,000 servicemen, and 1,000 of those died. The Mexican War, there was 78,718 of them, and there was 1,733 of those killed. In the Civil War, there was 2,263,000 servicemen that entered this war in 1861 through 1865. There was 1,050,000 men killed in this war. Spanish-American War in 1898, there was 300,760 that entered this war, and 2,061 of them were killed. In World War I, there was 400,734,991 men entered this war. There was 116,516 men and women killed in World War I. In World War II in 1941, there was 16,112,566 servicemen and women that entered this war. There was 405,399 killed in World War II. In the Korean War, there was 570,000 5,000 men and women entered that war. There was 542,000 killed. Also in the Vietnam War, there was 8,744,000 entered the war. There was 90,220 killed in the Vietnam War. That is on record. There's several that haven't been put on record. In the Desert Shield and Desert Storm, there was 2,322,000 that entered the war. There was 1,940 that died in that war. American wars totaled up 41,892,128 people that have died in these American wars that you and I could be here this morning. Would Brother Jake and Brother John come forward this morning? And may I say again, before Brother John plays this, I want to give this number one more time. They've been 41,892,128 men and women that have given their lives that you could be here this morning. And I think the right thing to do is we all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for all the men and women that have given their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, for this country. May we never forget as a nation the great price that has been paid for this land to be free. God, I pray for every family member, every child, every wife, every husband that's been affected by war. God, would you today encamp them in your love and wrap them real close, Lord. Give them a special touch today as Vickers Chapel stands as one united, Lord, to pray for them and to remember what has happened in years gone by. Many of these family, Lord, have died out and maybe they're not remembered anymore, but Lord, we remember this morning. We never want to forget the great price that's been paid. For Lord, we never want to forget the great price that you gave when you gave Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. All of these, Lord, that have died, Lord, you died for them. And I pray, God, if there's any under the sound of our voice today that don't know you as Savior, that they'll come to know you, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Lord, it's a great thing to give our lives for this country. But it's even a greater thing that we would give our hearts to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this great sacrifice as we remember. Thank you for our freedom and our independence. We'll love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today I want to preach a message on The cost of freedom. The cost of freedom. I want to share with you, as we've talked already in the scriptures, where Paul has encouraged the church not to be carnal-minded, but to be spiritual-minded. We're in a war. We're in this thing to win people for the Lord, and we need to stand bold in these last days. We need to be the representatives that God has called us to be. We are in an army for the Lord. We are in service for the Lord. You wear a uniform this morning. If you're a child of God, you wear a uniform that says, I'm not ashamed to be a child of God. Amen. And we need to step up for the cause and stand up in these last days and proclaim Him to be the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't claim and you don't stand for Him, who will stand in these days? I want to be like the men that fought on the battlefield. They was glad to carry Old Glory and hold it up and die for the cause of this country. I want to stand and hold up the Word of God and die for the cause of the Word of God. When they lay my cold corpse out one day, you can say that man loved God and he stood for God. People hated him for it, but he loved God. That's what I want to be remembered for. Now, as we've remembered these great patriots, Lord, that have given their lives and done all they could do and give the ultimate sacrifice, I would hope that you'd want the same testimony this morning. Number one, we need to remember. God wants us to remember what He's done for us. Over in John 3:16, one of the most familiar scriptures that is quoted in the house of God anymore. We want to remind the people, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't say you wouldn't perish. He said you should not perish. And I can tell you this morning how you won't perish. If you'll trust Him as your Lord and Savior and ask Him into your heart, He can be your personal Savior and you won't have to worry about hell. He'll save you from this awful place. In the 17th verse of that same chapter, the Bible says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. I'm glad America was saved through the men and women that are paying the ultimate price. They're fighting for our freedom, and we're being saved here on this land because of that. But there's so many men and women that are dying and going to hell this morning because the preachers won't tell them about this place that is awaiting. That's called eternity. You and I are going to strip out into eternity, and it could be today. I was talking to a brother this morning about another man that we used to work with and that died last week. Just age, I think, of 52 or 54, he died, and he died unexpectedly. He was a hard-working man, and he wanted to impress people about his work, but he never did seem like impress anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have great wealth and great possessions in this life, and you can do all you want to do, but you better have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He won't take nothing less than His Son's blood upon your life. You won't be able to buy your way in. You won't be able to scoot your way in. Your brothers and sisters that are good Christian people, you'll never get to heaven on their behalf. You'll have to go on your own. Amen. You'll have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We need to remember what God has done for us. As Christ has died on the cross of Calvary and give His life, we need to be remembered and need to be reminded of what the Lord has done. We've taken it for granted. We're too busy with our lives and doing everything that we're doing to even consider what Christ has done for us anymore. It's hard to get a smile out of anybody anymore. They're so busy with life. They got so much going on in life. You try to talk about Jesus. You try to lift Him up. But they're so miserable that they can't get their head above water sometimes. I'm telling you what, we're headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. You ought to be happy this morning. You ought to be raising your hand knowing that you ain't on the way to a devil's hell. You ought to be rejoicing knowing that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. But the devil has muzzled the church, and the church has allowed it to happen. And I'll tell you what, church, I'm God's done too much for me to be quiet anymore. I want to be loud and I want to be exciting and I want to lift Him up. It ain't a show this morning. It's truly from my heart. I remember back when this church called me and they said, we need a pastor. We need somebody to come in and preach the Word of God. And I said, if you don't want somebody loud and up in your face, you better not vote on me, because that's just the way that I am. I want to lift up Him because He lifted it all up for me one day. I love Him this morning. I say it every week. And I'll say it till I die. Because He first loved me. Amen. He loved you this morning when nobody else did. When nobody else cared, He loved you. Amen. And give His life for you. You need to remember what the Lord has done. Over in Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what He did. When we were lost and undone and doomed for hell, He died for us so we wouldn't have to go to that awful place. He made a way for you and I. Just as the soldiers are fighting on the battlefields right now, we don't have people locking the doors, coming here, shooting you and I. We've got people here that watches over us, and they're there on the battlefields doing that, taking care of this land. And I'm so thankful for that. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's watching over me. He said, no matter where you go, what you do, or what you go through, I'll go with you. Ain't it wonderful to serve a God like that? He's worthy. We need to remember. In Ephesians 5:2, He says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet smelling savor. Amen. He's given His life for you and I. You need not to get complacent with that. You need not to take that for granted this morning. You ought to never get over that. You remember how it was when you first got saved? Have you been saved so long that you forgot it? But you remember when you first got saved. You come down and you give your life to the Lord, and the tears rolled out and you rejoiced, and it was a wonderful time, and the church rejoiced, and for the first few weeks and the first few months you was excited and you was happy about what God was doing and you wanted to tell people, and then all of a sudden things started getting complacent and just began to be boring. Church didn't have its flair anymore. Somebody talked about you for the first time. Somebody lied on you for the first time. One of them good old church members lied on you for the first time. Am I the only one that's ever went through that? One of them good old church members stuck you in the back with a knife for the first time. They threw you out for the first time. And you walk around just all down and out, how bad it is. Did you realize that Jesus never had a place to lay His head? He, everywhere He went, they seemed like they wanted to kill Him and throw Him out. But He always had a plan. He could always, they'd take Him, follow Him all the way to the edge of the cliff, trying to throw Him off. He'd walk right back through the crowd because He had a plan. He even loved those that hated Him. He's hanging on a cross. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even what you've done this week against the Lord, He's forgive you for it if you've asked Him. He loves you that much. He has unconditional love for you and I. It's not His will that anybody in here would perish, but that we'd all would come to repentance. And in this 4th of July, remembering our freedom and what He's done for us and done for this country, the least that we can do is live for Him. That's the least that we can do, church. So we need to remember and not forget. Number two, we need to have respect. I dare to say that anymore that the respect has left the house of God. When men can stand on a stage, and I'm not about what you wear. Let me make that clear this morning. I'm not about what you wear to church. I could preach up here this morning in a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt as well as I could this three-piece suit. But I was glad to put on my suit this morning because I came for battle. I knew the devil was going to be here, and he's here this morning. I don't know which one of them he's sitting with, but he's here this morning. I'm just saying. He's here before any of us got here. He's trying to figure out how to hinder this service. But I got up this morning, I was glad to put on my uniform and come to church. But in these last days that we're living in, the standard of the holiness of God has been let down to nothing. When a man can stand in a pulpit and try to bring the gospel in a pair of shorts and a ball cap, that bothers me. I may be old-fashioned, but that bothers me. This is a holy place where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. And He dwells in all this place too. But when we're up here representing the Lord, I think you ought to do your best for the Lord. It ain't about what you got on. But now there's just some things we shouldn't let the standard down. Can I hear from you? If you wear shorts, praise the Lord. I wore a pair this week at the beach. I didn't put it on Facebook because I knew it'd be blowed up like crazy. Oh, look at the pastor. Boom. I'd have got a million likes on that. I knew he was a hypocrite. There's nothing wrong with a pair of shorts as long as they're decent, amen? I seen more nakedness this week than I ever wanted to see. I had to walk around half the time looking at the ground, thinking, oh my Lord. But even at the beach or out in the public, I want to represent the Lord. I need to have respect for His holiness, amen? And in these last days, we need to do that. In Romans 12, 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is not too much to ask. It's a reasonable service, is what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, y'all looking at me kind of funny this morning. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's how we have respect for Him. And we honor Him. And I don't have to talk to anybody the way you dress and what you do. You know, if you're born again, you know what to do. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you will lead and guide and direct you if you'll pay attention to what the Lord wants in your life. We need to have respect in these last days. 1 Peter 2 and 17, the Bible says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. That's how we have respect. We honor Him. How I treat you is how I treat the Lord. Did y'all know that? That's what the Bible says. If I don't have no respect for you, I ain't having no respect for Him. Well, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they done to you. Remember, you're wearing a uniform. You're a child of God this morning. We're wearing a uniform. These kids got up this morning and sung. They done a wonderful job for the Lord. They did the very best they knowed how to do. They came on business for the King. Amen? And God was using them and has been using them and will continue using them. But you need to remember and have respect for them and pray for them.
Amen?
Amen? Hebrews 13:17, He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch over your souls as they that must have given account. They will give an account for you. I'm telling you this morning, these children, we need to be a witness to these children. We need to love these children. We need to show these children the way. If you got young children at home, you need to be that example that would honor God and respect God, that they may learn how to respect the house of God, the pulpit of God, the man of God, and the people of God.
Amen.
Can I hear from you this morning?
Amen.
But we're getting away from that. It's not happening anymore. That's not a popular thing anymore. We just let the children go. Let them do whatever they want to do. They'll figure it out as they go along. I never seen a cow that you could put in a field that you didn't have to put a gate around it and hem it up and teach it what that was all about. And it would stay in its place and do its things. There's things that you have to do when you're raising cattle. Well, children are a different thing. You don't hem them up. You get close to them and you show them the way. You teach them the way. And when they do something wrong, you tell them what they done wrong. And when they get out from under you, you're no more responsible for them. They are an adult. They have to answer for themselves. But I'm telling you this morning, we've lost respect for the house of God. That's why our children are going crazy. That's why the schoolhouses are going crazy. We've lost respect for the Word of God. We don't live by it anymore. It's old-fashioned anymore. We're getting rid of it. We don't talk about it that much anymore. Just do any old thing, live any old way, go any old way, whatever you want to do. It's okay. I'm telling you this morning, it ain't okay. There's 66 books in the Word of God that we must live by. He wants us to read it from cover to cover, eat it from cover to cover, learn of it, learn of me, and grow in me, is what the Bible says, and have respect for the house of God. I'm glad that our soldier men and women still have respect for the Word of God, still have respect for the house of God, still have respect for the man of God. I've never met one out in the marketplace anywhere. I'd go up and thank them for their service. And we'd get to talking. They'd find out who I was. They'd say, thank you, sir. Thank you for what you're doing. And I appreciate that very much. I can't be where they're at. They can't be where I'm at. But we can pray and work together, and God can do great things. Amen? Amen. Just because you're not on the battlefield doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray. We should be praying for our men and women. Amen? So we need to also not just have respect. We need to celebrate this great accomplishment that we've accomplished as a nation. You think about all of these men and women that have died for this cause. This 42 million people that have died for this great land. The least that we could do is remember what they've done and respect what they've done. It's not popular anymore. That flag ain't popular no more. There's probably been a time already you've even had to think, should I put my flag out or should I not put my flag out? Should I wear my hat that says I'm glad to be American or should I not? I don't want to cause a conflict. And the devil calls you to get afraid and start backing down. And that's how the devil will gain ground. We need to stand up as children of God and be proud of who we are in this great nation that we live. I'm proud of that flag. I'm proud of every stripe on it, every star on it, every color on it. I'm proud of it. But most of all, I'm proud of the Word of God and what it stands for this morning. I'm not ashamed of every word that's been put in this book. What it says, I believe every bit of it, from cover to cover. If it's in this book, I believe it. If it's in here, I want to live by it. If it's in here, I want to respect it. And if it's in here, I want to celebrate it, amen. Why? Because it's worthy to be celebrated this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said. He wasn't ashamed. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run a race with patience. We need to run with patience the race that is set before us. I know it's hard sometimes, church, but we need to run that race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do y'all believe he's there today? I believe he's there today. You believe this is the true, infallible Word of God today? Amen. If you believe that this morning, there ain't nothing that the devil can throw at you that you can't overcome. He said, he told us in his Word that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That I can overcome no matter what comes my way. I can overcome it with the Word of God. I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I found out one thing. I read the smartest book that's ever been wrote. And it's got the best answers to any question I've got. I'm not ashamed. I'll take my flag and I'll take my Bible and I'll stand up for the Word of God. I'll stand up for this country. I'm not ashamed. I'm going to respect those that have authority over me. I'm going to pray for those that are in office. I'm going to respect them. I may not like everything they're doing, but if they're in there representing this country and they're holding up the Lord Jesus Christ to be the way, the truth, and the life, I'm going to respect them, amen, because they're worthy of it this morning. That's what the Bible says. I'm not about any party. I've never been for one party or the other. I don't like all that. That's the greatest division in this country that's ever come. Denomination is the greatest division of the church that's ever come. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad that for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. It ain't about a denomination, and it sure ain't about a party. It's all about Him. Amen. That's what it's about. But He tells us to respect, to honor, and to pray, to remember, and we need to celebrate. In Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming after a people that are watching, that are ready. I hope that you're ready this morning. These men and women were ready to pay the ultimate price, and 42 million of them did. I wonder what you have done for Christ this week. Have you stood for Christ this week? Have you stood up for Him? If you're put on the spot, what are you going to do? This doesn't just happen to young people or middle-aged people. It happens to older folks as well. You guys are put to a test as much as we are. And we have to stand up together in these last days. As a church, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with our heads back and our chest pushed out and say, yes, we're proud to be children of God. They may kill you for it. But what are they threatening you with? Heaven? Really? If we die for the cause of Christ, we're dying, headed to a better place. I'm just like you. I want to live as long as I can. I want to raise my children. I want to see them do good. I want them to be happy in the Lord. I want my family to be all happy. I want to have all, everything you want. But I'm ready, Lord Jesus. Come on. Come right now, Lord. I'm ready. That's the way we should live. Today could be the day that Christ would call for the church. And I dare to say that every person in this building today is ready to meet God. I dare to say the 42 million that had died, I dare to say that every one of them was ready to meet God. I hope they were, because they give a great price. You can give your life. The Bible talks about you could give your life to even to be burnt. And have not charity, it profits you nothing. What he's talking about, without the love of Jesus Christ and the blood applied to your life, you can give your very life and it won't matter. You'll still die and go to hell. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for chaplains that are in our service that are speaking to our soldiers and leading them to Christ. Last year at this time, I remember seeing a video where they'd taken a loader bucket and lined it and filled it full of water, and the chaplains were baptizing the soldiers in a loader bucket. And them men were getting right with God. And they're still doing that. Here's water. What doth hinder us? Let's get baptized. These men would give their life. They'd baptize them in a loader bucket. I'd just soon be baptized in a loader bucket as I would that baptistry. Yeah. It's water's water. It's answering of a good conscience towards God anyhow. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we need to remember. We need to remember the great price that's been paid. The cost of freedom. There have been a great cost paid that we could be here today. Our children have sung their hearts out for you today. It's to help you to remember what Christ has done for you. Are you ready? Should He come today? Let us stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.